You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, and Volunteer Vodka.
Present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. Powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody Mack.
Just great, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
All right, chill out a little bit, bro.
All right, okay. Calm down.
Relax a little bit.
It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. How was your Tuesday evening?
It's fun.
You shoot a crossbow?
No, I haven't gone to buy one of those yet.
So all that conversation yesterday was just for nothing?
No. That was not, I hope. I guess I shouldn't jinx myself, but I don't think that will be the last Tuesday I'll ever be alive. I think I'll have other opportunities to create my Tuesday hobby. It's just where I live, once we get off the air, it's kind of tough to get motivated to go, like, West Knoxville. I don't really want to drive back through all that traffic, so I kind of just stay on my side of town. Just kind of go home and only leave if I have to go get, like, food or something.
What's the deal with going to West Knoxville?
Just traffic. It's sneaky, like, a long way.
I mean, why was that a thing yesterday?
If I had to go get my crossbow, like,
You can't buy a crossbow on this side of town?
Where's the nearest Academy Sports on this side of town?
There's not one.
Okay, so then no, I couldn't have.
I mean,
can you please put chewing gum?
I'm thinking in the microphone. Can you hear that?
Yes, we are not the drive. You have to stop that. No, I'm being serious. That's going to drive me crazy.
I'm thinking there might be places where you can buy a crossbow that's not Academy Sports.
Stop doing that. Like, I'm being serious. We are not the drive. Just stop. Enough.
Does the drive chew gum on the air?
Yeah.
Is it bothering you? Seems like
it's really bothering you. It actually.
I don't know what you want me to do.
It really is. I don't know.
You want me to blow bubbles?
Swallow it, maybe. Spit it in this cup.
Swallow
do something.
How am I going to swallow it?
Just spit it in this cup, maybe.
I like having fresh breath.
I've seen you come in here enough without brushing your teeth and having to go brush it after the first segment that I don't know if I really believe that.
What, am I just going to hold it on the roof of my mouth?
You got to do something. I'm being serious.
Calm down.
Gum is one of my things.
Take it easy. I'll just hold it on the roof of my mouth.
Gum is one of my things.
I'll just sound like this for the rest of the segment. Gum is one of my things. It really bothers me.
I mean, you're doing a radio show and you're here chomping gum. And you're mad at me for being mad at you about it.
Nobody cares that I'm chewing gum.
I do.
You're the only one. No one else would have even noticed.
That's not true. The audience would have noticed.
They wouldn't. Not until I started exaggerating it.
No, they would have.
No.
Because the reason I noticed is because I have my headphones on and I could hear it. People listening on the air also would have heard it.
I don't know why you had to take a shot at our afternoon programming.
That's what happens. Whenever the gum happens, I lose my composure. Gum and cardboard and styrofoam. Those are my three things.
So many pet peeves.
No, just three.
So many things. And the Sharpies.
Well, I kind of consider that it's really just Sharpie on cardboard. Sharpie on paper, that doesn't bother me. It's like when people start Sharpie and other stuff. Take a Sharpie to the watermelon out there, and whoever wrote Pruitt on there, it wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here with gum in my mouth, just nothing to do. No way to fix it. You could have just waited until this first segment.
Cody, that gum is killing me.
So I didn't sound like a lunatic.
It's not good radio. It's awful, Cody.
It's not good radio, Cody. It's awful.
I'm just telling you, people did notice.
I don't care. They can deal with it.
Not going to lie, the loud smacking was driving me nuts.
Nom, 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 nom.
I mean, what are you doing?
I'm trying to freshen my breath.
You had a whole car ride over here to do that.
I was chewing gum then, too.
I feel like the gum loses flavor after...
Yeah, it has begun to lose quite
a bit. Yeah, like I feel like now it's just it's not really serving its purpose. Like
all the sugar's gone.
I don't know how everyone else chews gum. And like I said, gum's one of my things, but I do chew gum from time to time. But I'm like 5 minutes, spit it out tops. Like 5 minutes, most I'm leaving.
5 minutes?
Yeah, that's the most I'm leaving gum in my mouth.
You gotta go like 20 minutes.
Cam, how long are you chewing gum? You a mint guy? I usually prefer mints. Like if you can give me a mint, that's my preference. But I do chew gum, you know. Like I said, 5 minutes tops. The flavor's gone. You're out of here.
Don't know why suddenly you make this a thing. I've chewed gum many times.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
Not well. Maybe I didn't have my headphones on.
Take them off.
I don't think you really have. I think I would have noticed. No, I think you're lying. Yeah, I was gonna say. I think you're lying because I think I would have noticed.
I did one time before.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago.
Can I also ask another question? Like, I don't want this segment just to be
if you just want to
being mean to Cody,
start the day negatively.
I don't want to.
Go ahead.
I'm asking. Can I ask one more question?
You're gonna make me be a
no.
I'm going to have to be an ass all day.
I'm just asking if I could ask one more question pertaining to this.
Yeah, please.
How are you chewing gum and drinking Mountain Dew at the same time?
I haven't drank the Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
Okay.
I just popped open the Mountain Dew.
Okay. Okay.
I was getting ready after the first segment to get rid of my gum so that I could drink the Mountain Dew.
Well, can I ask a follow-up to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did you pop the Mountain Dew 15 minutes before you were going to drink it? I feel like that's kind of weird, too.
I don't know. Okay? I didn't really have a plan. I didn't know
my bad.
This was going to get right. critiqued in the first segment.
Okay,
so.
My bad. The whole chewing gum with the Mountain Dew was just a weird combination to me, but if you hadn't drank it yet, that is fun. Yesterday in baseball, we got a sweep. That series was boring anyways. I'm glad it's over. A little bit of justice of the Cardinals letting that game get blown open in the first inning. Give up 7 runs in the first inning. A little bit of justice in that. A little bit of justice also in the way it happened with the whole outfield pop-up that kind of could have been an infield fly. It was an infield fly years ago in Atlanta. They didn't call it this time. The ball drops, and like I said, the Nationals go ahead and put that one away as they win the National League. They were 19-31 in the middle of May. 19-31, 12 games under 500. It looked like they were going to clean house and rebuild. Like you thought maybe the manager gets fired. You thought maybe they would then start looking to trade trade Scherzer. Scherzer would have been on the market. Instead, they rally. Pretty cool story. I know locally a lot of people don't like this Nationals team. The Nationals team has been pretty hateable over the last 5-6 years, mostly because of Bryce Harper. Like, mostly, like, all the hate just comes from him. Or most of the hate comes from him. That's the only guy that really bothered me when he played with the Nationals. Zimmerman, never had any feelings about Zimmerman's, whatever, Ron Zimmerman. Scherzer's kind of cool. Like I could see Scherzer maybe getting on your nerves a little bit the way he yells at people, but I kind of like that. But they get rid of Bryce Harper, and then all of a sudden they become the scrappy underdog team, and they accomplish probably what they should have accomplished 5 or 6 years ago.
They can all burn in hell for all I care.
You said you were rooting for them, though, right?
For eternity.
Am I right or wrong that you said you were rooting for them since they beat the Dodgers? You wanted to see them win.
I don't know what I said.
Okay.
I'm tired of seeing them win.
Well, I do think that was the last round they'll win. I do think we're currently seeing.
I don't know. They're hot.
Yeah, I do think. Well, that's the problem about being hot is they're going to have to wait. They're not going to have to wait like 4 or 5 days at least for that to even know who they're going to play. And then I think the World Series, you know, game one is already kind of set. They set those dates in advance. So are they still going to be hot whenever that new series starts? I don't know. Because they're not playing another game for, you know, a week, 6 days. But that was cool. It's cool when you see, like, the star that's always, like, pretty overrated, and I think everyone agrees Bryce Harper's overrated. You see that guy leave, and then he leaves the team behind, and everyone kind of writes off the team, at least to an extent. and then they bounce back and do something special. Also, like, this is, they were, what, one out away from not being able to do this?
Yeah, they should have just lost to the Brewers.
I guess they still would have had the ninth inning to bat, so they were four outs away. But in the eighth inning, you know, bases loaded, down two. Game could have been over there.
It's so stupid that they beat the Dodgers. We shouldn't even be talking about them. If they shouldn't have lost to the Brewers, they should have lost to the Dodgers. You know, the Cardinals had nothing for them, but this should be the Dodgers.
You will.
It's pathetic.
Live the next years of your life wondering what could have been, what should have been.
Yeah.
Because the Dodgers would have rolled through that Cardinals team, too. And Braves fans who were really good against the Nationals this year, they probably are sick, too. Like, hey, we lost to this Cardinals team, man. This Cardinals team ain't any good.
Yeah. Imagine letting that team put 10 runs up on you in an inning.
I don't think – I don't say this facetiously. I really don't think they scored 10 runs the entire series.
No, I don't think they did.
Against the Nationals.
I don't think they did. They just got shut down.
I really don't think they hit 10 points in that – whole entire series. If they did, it was very close. They scored four yesterday. So maybe they got close. A little bit of baseball breaking news. Team in Los Angeles has made a move. Now they scored six runs. Six runs that entire series.
It's not a lot.
Wow. 0-1-1 the first three games. Wow. Yeah, Braves fans got to be sick. Gave up 10 in the first inning. Joe Madden has a new home. Joe Madden headed to Los Angeles, not to manage the Dodgers.
Yeah, right. It's the Angels. He was there for 30 years.
Yep. He is going back to his, I guess that's where he's got to start, right? That would be the place where he got his start. He spent 30 years there. So that was his home. Also, a little bit of an update from Jeremy Pruitt regarding the quarterback situation. Brian Maurer is, quote, a game-time decision for Saturday's game. All right, we're off and running. It's a Wednesday edition of Talk Sports powered by Lloyd's Electric. We'll be back on the other side. Stick with us. Learn about, ask questions about, and then buy a Generac automatic standby generator. It's getting a little stormy. It was storming pretty bad at my house today. Power did not get knocked out, but it could have. And if it would have been on a Saturday or Sunday when I was wanting to watch football, I would have been upset about that. Would have been mad, big mad. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never been more affordable. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. LloydsElectricService.com. Looking forward to seeing those guys tomorrow, catching up with them, as we will be at an event with them. So looking forward to talking to my boys from Lloyd's. What's the biggest story right now? Cody, I gave you the update. Jeremy Pruitt said Brian Maurer is questionable. What's the biggest sports story? That? Locally? The Alabama game? Like, look, I know there's probably an older generation who's mad that we haven't spent much time talking about this and doing the doing the stereotypical Tennessee-Alabama conversation. Like, we've had the same one over the last 5 years, right?
They don't listen to this show.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think they're, like, even, like, surfing the channels and maybe listening?
Yeah, I mean, they accidentally come across this show, but then they turn it.
Probably.
They turn it. They don't like us. No one over the age of
I'm not going to say that. No, no, that's not true.
That's pretty true.
That's not true. Now,
it's generally true.
Maybe you could say that younger people tend to like us more than older people, but I know older people who like us too. I'm not going to, and I'm not even calling over 50 older, but it's older than young. So, I mean.
I'm saying generally speaking.
We could do the same conversation that's been done the last 5 years of do you rest your starters? Do you just punt the game? Do you stay healthy and just work on the back half of the schedule? Or we could go another route of, is it time to end the rivalry? Is it time to quit playing Alabama every year? You could have those conversations, but I mean, I feel like we've had those all the last 5 years. You know what I mean?
Or we can just be so cool that we don't even address it. Just not even talk about it. Pretend it's not happening.
Well, I do think there's some interesting things about the game.
Like the spread.
The spread, the light show. Don't forget the light show.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Everybody's doing that now. It's great on TV. Looks like your TV's going out.
I haven't seen it on TV yet. I guess Nebraska did it. Did Nebraska do it against Ohio
State? There's a lot of NFL teams doing it. It happened in the Packers-Lions
game. Okay, I noticed that. I thought my TV was messing up.
Exactly.
I was watching it on a stream. I thought maybe, because, you know, I usually watch it on cable. I was like, is this damn thing buffering? Because it, like, went dark. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The lights went out?
The stadium starts flashing, going dark. It's a new thing they're doing. It looks awful on TV.
Putting all these LED lights in there. The only time I've seen this happen was when Seth Rollins and The Fiend fought in Hell in a Cell, and they made the stadium or arena or whatever red. That's the only time I've noticed it.
Rick made me watch that.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
It was awful.
Yeah. You can't do wrestling as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, like once you reach the age of 25, if you're still watching wrestling, I mean, come on.
But that's the only time I've seen the light show. So I didn't watch the Nebraska-Ohio State game. I especially wasn't watching at the end of the third quarter, right, whenever it was already decided. But I'm looking. I do think there are some interesting things from this game, but more so just in terms of what happens in the game. I don't think there's really anything interesting at all when it comes to the Tennessee-Alabama game leading into the game. Does that make sense? Like what I'm saying? Like I feel like there's some things we could take away from the game, things that I want to see whether or not they happen, but like in terms of either trying to predict them or make them sound interesting in a preview, that seems like a tough task.
Right.
And I have a lot of confidence in our audience that they don't necessarily want to have us say some of those basic things.
I mean, what are we going to talk about? Just sit here and like discuss who's going to have the most rushing yards? Yeah. What are the key factors Tennessee can do to?
You got
to
create some turnovers.
Yeah.
Got to win the turnover battle. Got to play a perfect game. You don't have any error.
Now let's discuss how to slow down Alabama's receivers.
Find them before the game and drug them or get them intoxicated.
I mean, there's
Celtic pride.
Yeah, there's just no way to slow them down. Now, I would say if Pruitt were to come out and say that we...
Can't decide if that's an underrated movie or
what?
Celtic pride or if it was just really stupid.
It sounds stupid. I don't know.
Cam, you ever seen Celtic pride? Oh, you laughed. I thought you got the reference. They go
just
out.
Just hear the hype you up.
I appreciate that. That's a good producer. I appreciate that. Well, they kidnap the star player. They're playing game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's the Celtics versus the Jazz. Damon Wayans is like the star player for the Jazz. So Mar from Home Alone and Dan Aykroyd get him drunk. They see him at a bar in Boston before, and they get him drunk and pretend like they are Jazz fans. And then they kidnap him. It might have even been before game 6, maybe, because they might have lost a game without him. But I think it was before game 7. He just like quit going to practice. So they kidnapped him. Spoiler alert, he escaped before the game.
Is this a true story?
Yeah, it's based off a true story. Loosely. It's not loosely based off a true story.
Yeah,
I didn't think so. It could inspire. Like, that's the only way Tennessee's going to stop Alabama's wide receivers. You know what I mean? Like, getting Jerry Jeudy... like catfish him. I guess it'd be a lot easier to kidnap someone these days, right? I mean, I guess this, I don't know, but like I feel like if you just pose as an attractive woman on some of these dating apps and...
meet me in the back of the van.
Yeah, meet me here, and then you watch a little Dexter, and you say, oh, I gotta get this tranquilizer shot, and I put it in the neck, and then they're out. You could figure out a way to do that.
Go ahead, climb on up. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
The issue is we'd have to kidnap about 4 of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It'd be a lot tougher, although, you know, maybe you... never mind.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that important. Like, if this was... I mean, we might have tried that, like, in 2016, maybe? Like, when there was actual stakes on this game? Because this is the last time there's been stakes on this game. Doing it before this one, it's... like you said, 4 guys at least. Maybe more.
I'm getting ready to go buy my cigar.
Oh, yeah, you smoke it after the game regardless, don't you?
Yep.
We could have that conversation about how dumb that is.
I like smoking a cigar once a year.
Cody McClure smoking victory cigars for Alabama.
I smoke a cigar once a year. It's the Alabama game. It's when I do it. If we win, I'll smoke it. If we lose, I'll smoke it. It doesn't really have to mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
It can just be a cigar.
So, but it's not just a cigar because you smoke it after this game every time. You make
it a thing.
Well,
see, my tradition is to just I smoke a cigar after the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Okay.
Other people's tradition is they think they got to win.
But sure.
The problem is, if you make that your tradition, you never get to smoke the cigar. And the cigar.
Smoked a cigar in what, 12 years?
You haven't smoked one since 06. And by now, your cigar's all dried out and that tobacco's awful. And I mean,
chew on it.
Yeah. I mean, so you just ruined your good cigar. Me, I smoke mine every year. So I don't think it's stupid. Just my own little tradition.
Yeah. I didn't, if I call it stupid, I didn't mean to
you
say
did.
Stupid.
You did. Yeah, no, you called it stupid.
I think I said weird.
No, you said stupid. I heard it.
I just don't really use the word stupid. Unless it's like
you use it all the time.
Unless it's followed by idiot.
Well, you just used it. You called it a stupid tradition.
Okay.
My stupid tradition.
Eh, I guess
just
it is
because
kind
it's
of...
mine. Just because
no,
it's mine. That's
no,
why you
it's
call
just
it
because
that.
Like cigars are just attached to this rivalry is my issue with it. Like if you did it after the Florida game, like. That'd be a different thing. Like, hey, you want to smoke a cigar after the Florida game? Now, I will say, it does seem like smoking a cigar in the middle of October seems more appealing than in September when it's 90 degrees outside still.
Mm-hmm. Weather should be nice Saturday night around midnight.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I was wanting to put a full court press on Davey and Russell to try to convince them that it's dumb to do the voluntary reaction at midnight and that we should just do it like at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Do you think that's soft of me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think we should just do it at midnight?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys came up with the idea for this show. It's supposed to be right after the game.
I know.
That's, you know.
I understand. I just... Coming in at midnight 30, man, to talk about what's probably going to be a shellacking.
Now, that's a stupid tradition.
Yeah, I think you're on to something.
I will be at home enjoying my cigar while you two talk about a 49-point loss.
Right, I mean, is that not weird? Is that not just being stubborn for the sake of being stubborn? Would it not be smarter just to do it at 10 o'clock the next morning? Come do a two-hour show at 10 o'clock the next morning?
I'm sure you could get Russell to go along with it.
But is it soft? Do you think it's soft?
It's a little soft.
It's just... If it was a different game, I would be okay with it, but, like, it has to be Alabama. Like, midnight 30 for Alabama. Like you said, like, 49-point loss. Like, 95% chance we are coming in here after a loss that is boring. There's a 3% chance it's a loss that we had a chance to win that we blew, and then it's a 2% chance we win.
I'd go lower than that.
I think Tennessee would win 50. If they played 50 times this same thing, they'd probably win one of them.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, there's a chance. Like, yeah, like if you played it 50 times, you'd win once.
Would you?
I think so. I think you'd have the game from hell if you're Alabama. Like, I know it's not going to be the same thing because of, you know, rosters and stuff, but, like, Tennessee's not going to lose to Alabama 50 times in a row. At least I don't think. Now, again, I know that it's not exactly a comparison because eventually Saban – the deal with the devil will expire and he will have to go to hell. But,
well, if we had played them, I don't know, if we had played them three times a year for the last 10 years, I'm pretty sure we would have lost 30. Or do you think
we'd have won one?
You think we would have won one?
Yeah. How many years did you say the last 10 years? We'd have won one game in the last 10 years.
I guess
30 tries.
I guess if we played them three times in 15.
Yeah, between 09, 15, and maybe even 16. Like, if Alvin Kamara doesn't get hurt at the opening kickoff of 16, maybe that game's a little different. I mean, I don't think it is. And maybe it wasn't the opening kickoff. Maybe it was when it was 7-0. Maybe Alabama had already scored at that point. But, like, I'm just saying maybe it would have been a little different.
Well, either way, though, that's with different rosters.
I know.
If you play this particular game 50 times, I don't think we win one.
I think you win one. I think there's one where you hurt Tua Tagovailoa. And if you hurt him, I think Tennessee would have a chance. I don't know if they have
a
backup quarterback.
Hopefully we'll hurt him.
I know they don't have anybody at backup quarterback. Or I'm sure they have somebody, I meant to say. But, like, I know it's not Jalen Hurts.
It is not Jalen Hurts.
So, like, I feel like if you knocked him out, you would have a chance to win this game.
Isn't it his younger brother?
Is he actually – has he gotten any games this year? I don't know. I haven't seen.
I'm not sure, but I do he
is on the roster. You're right about that, but I haven't seen him.
Or whatever.
I haven't seen him play. Like I said, I haven't watched – many Alabama mop-up duty. I usually turn the channel by that point.
Yeah, I mean, they got, let's see. They've actually got a lot. Bear Bryant's grandson, I think, is there too or something.
I'm sure Saban's got a nephew on the team. They've got all the nepotism. Like, anyone who's related to an Alabama great got a roster spot right now.
They got a guy named Mac Jones. They got a guy named Talia Tagovailoa, probably related to Tua. So that's what I see here.
I think Mac Jones is the actual backup.
It's looking like Mac's the backup. Yeah.
Like, I think if you knocked Tua out early, you'd have a chance to win this game.
I mean, maybe that should be our game plan.
Yeah, maybe.
Just try to take him out, you know? Just dive low, try to take the legs.
Seems
like a game plan.
Kind of dirty.
Oh, yeah, it's dirty.
If he gets hurt, that's one thing. But if you're trying to hurt him, it feels a little different.
I mean, you should be trying to hurt him. Do you want to win or not?
I don't know. I feel like you should try to win the right way.
By playing tough.
Yeah, I mean, if it's
playing
just
physical.
If it's a legal hard hit and he gets knocked out, I think that's okay to give a fist bump. But like, if you're coming in diving at the back of his knees after the play, that would feel a little dirty.
I think
kind of like Spike did Icebox and or did Junior in Little Giants. You know, he dives into Junior at the end of after the play is well over. That one always made me feel like that one was too dirty.
Would you feel bad about it if we went on to win the game after that happened? Because I'd feel pretty good about it.
I don't know, man. That the media coverage and like like being labeled, like whoever is the one that has to hit, like, and here it is, 3 seconds after the whistle, Darrell Taylor just comes diving at the knees of Tua Tagovailoa.
Also worth noting, Nick Saban now has one loss against an unranked team in his career.
That's not true.
And a disciple.
That's not true.
It
will be the first
coach.
Assistant to
it's
be.
Pretty close to true.
He lost to Louisiana Monroe. I know they weren't ranked.
Well, yeah, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be.
It's close.
Either way, you're beating Alabama.
It's close.
So
we'd win 1 out of 50 this matchup. My point was just like, you know, really, probably go ahead and pre-record the voluntary action on Saturday night.
You guys should do that. You should try it.
Just pre-record it and bring a producer in to have phone calls, and then they'll get cues of me saying, you know, someone asking how's it going. I'll say, oh, not good. We just got our ass kicked, and then they respond to that. Someone says, what are you guys doing? And I'll say, oh, I don't know, doing a radio show, man. What are you up to? Just hit a couple of those cues, and then every now and then hit one of just saying, yep, you're right about that. Then you could fill in my, you know, my take of, man, look, I know it sucks to lose to Alabama, but it's about South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly what's going to be happening.
Either way. Maybe I won't even bring it up. You made me feel then soft.
Maybe do like an alternate take of like, just in case, you know?
Yeah. Oh, just, God, we would.
Just scream it into the microphone.
No, if we won, it would be fun. I wouldn't mind to stay here until 6 a.m. celebrating a win. Like I said, I think there's a 2% chance that happens, though.
The only thing that could get me really interested in this one would be for Pruitt to actually put his money where his mouth is on what he was talking about in the press conference. Onside kick every time.
Yeah, just do it.
I would love to see that. That would get me interested. Maybe we'll try it. We'll try at least one, I'm sure. One or two, maybe.
I think everyone would respect it if he did. He's not going to, but it'd be cool.
He'll try one.
It'd be, I was never, pretty much in his entire tenure, which is maybe is bad on me and maybe unfair, but I never forgave Butch Jones for punting on 4th-and-1 from midfield against Oregon when the game was still somewhat close in the first quarter. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, how dumb are you? Like,
you're giving the ball to Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, and that used to be a scary thing.
I don't know. Yeah.
It used to be
college,
a scary thing.
In college it was. That's an unstoppable offense.
But the chart.
Yeah, like the chart wouldn't even tell you. Wouldn't even tell you to put the chart.
There
say,
was no chart.
There's a 90% chance this is going to end badly if you punt here. So let's just go ahead and go for it.
They didn't really have the chart.
Alabama week. Get them off the schedule. Don't rest everybody. This isn't the same physical Alabama team of the past. I think everyone will be okay. Play Maurer. There, we hit all of the weeks of topics right there in 15 minutes. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports. powered by Lloyd's Electric.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and as light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
Moments. For the most part, it was, you know, disaster.
Apologies to podcast people, I'm an idiot.
Go down as a failure, but...
I'm struggling today. I've forgotten to start it every damn segment.
Really?
It's been bad. The whole podcast in general is going to suck today. I did good yesterday. Today, not so good. Over his last 8 quarters, Mariota completed 50% of his passes, 24 of 48, for 284 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That's a bad game. But I said that was 8 quarters, so that was 2 games. 284 yards in 2 games. 0 touchdowns in 2 games. I mean, that's what else do you need to see?
Yeah, nothing really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wrap at that point. That's like 8 quarters, no touchdowns, 284 yards. That is 142 yards per game. That is abysmal in today's NFL. That's abysmal in the old NFL. You at least had to crack 200 yards back in the day. On Sunday in Denver, Marcus Mariota was graded by Pro Football Focus. He received a 36.6. That's the second lowest total in his entire career. That's not what you want to see from your fifth-year quarterback. That's it. It's over. When Tannehill came in, he pushed the ball further down the field by almost double. I guess it would be more than double. Marcus Mariota was throwing the ball 4.2 yards in the air down the field. So like his average pass was just going 4 yards down the field. When Tannehill came in, it was over 8.5, which opens up the offense a little bit. Tannehill was all of a sudden hitting some sideline passes and looking like he had some arm strength. And I don't necessarily want to pile on Marcus Mariota. Everyone always wants to defend Marcus Mariota by talking about how good of a guy he is, right? He's a good guy. People root for him. He is, you know, I said all offseason, Cody, I think that he is who the Titans desperately want to be the guy. And what I meant by that was, like, you could not mold as a team owner a better franchise quarterback personality-wise. Like, you could have a brash guy, whatever, but in terms of being likable and, you know, not having any worries about he's going to get in trouble or do the wrong thing, you had none of that. You had none of that with Marcus Mariota. They wanted this guy to succeed as much as possible, and he just can't succeed. I don't know if his arm's just shot, like all the nerves in his arm are messed up. It seems that way. Like, this is not the same quarterback you saw 2 or 3 years ago. Really, 3 years ago. This isn't the same guy you saw 3 years ago. When I believe he had 26 touchdowns and I want to say 9 interceptions that season. Played pretty well. Last 2 years, he hasn't been very good. This year, he is just downright bad. But the Titans wanted him to be the franchise quarterback, but at least now they know. I think, now sure, there's still a chance that that Ryan Tannehill struggles, that this doesn't spark the team, and that they still stink. But I'd be surprised if they go back to Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback. I think the best thing they can do as a franchise is just say it's over. I don't think you put him in a situation, unless Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, of course. You don't put Marcus Mariota back in as starting quarterback and give him a chance to sway you or to make you think, oh, man, maybe there's something here. No, it's enough. He has played 62 games. That's enough. You know he's not the franchise quarterback. I think it's time you just rip the Band-Aid off. And like I said, unless Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, you do not put Marcus Mariota back in the game. You do not give him a chance to rally in a 3-game sample size and trick you into giving him big money or tricking you into franchise tagging him and keeping him around for longer. It's over. He's shown you who he was. Now just accept it. I thought he showed you who he was, you know, at the end of last year. If you go back, I did a podcast on the on our thread here on our Fox Sports Knoxville page. You can still find it. It was after the Titans game when they lost to the Colts and Mariota wouldn't, you know, didn't suit up. His arm was shot, whatever. I said, it's time to move on. Let's draft a quarterback. Let's do it. Let's give him this year. I think we're a year behind. I think we're a year behind where we should be. I think we should have drafted a quarterback last year. Now, granted, last year's quarterback class wasn't great. At the time, I wanted to draft Kyler Murray, thinking that he would be there at 19, right? Like, you know, last year in December, you thought Kyler Murray's going to be there. Either he's going to play baseball or he's going to be available at the end of the first round or beginning of the second round. Obviously, he went number one. He wasn't there. So, like, who are the other quarterbacks in last year's draft class? Like, Drew Locke, Kyler Murray. I mean, that you could have realistically gotten. Now, maybe the Titans could have traded up and gotten
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, you could have gotten Gardner Minshew. Daniel Jones. I guess you could have gotten Daniel Jones, although I mean, the Giants took him at 6. Dwayne Haskins. I mean, the Redskins took him at 15. So you had to trade up, and maybe neither one of those guys was worth doing that for. I don't know. But I thought the Titans should have maybe taken a quarterback. Now, Drew Lock probably shouldn't have been that guy. So I don't know. I thought maybe they should have tried to take a flyer and trade for Josh Rosen, but that doesn't seem to be the answer either. But I thought you should have already got the wheels in motion is my bigger point. You already should have been rolling on this and saying, this guy isn't it. You got that quarterback list for me, Cam?
Yeah, you could have had, it was Murray, Locke, Haskins, Jones, Greer, Ryan Finley, Jared Stidham, Tyree Jackson.
So, I mean, none of those guys are really, like I said, maybe Daniel Jones, but you weren't getting up higher than 6 to get him. Could have had Drew Locke. We haven't seen him play, so I'm not going to be mad about that. I didn't like Drew Locke in college either. So maybe they couldn't have got this ball rolling, but it seems like they should have had some type of plan. Instead, they use their first-round draft pick on Simmons, a defensive lineman, which, if he is as good as people think he is, that pick will be worth it down the line. But it doesn't help the offense this year, and it doesn't help this team score points, which is what it's desperately lacking. But I thought the writing was on the wall at the end of last year. I thought it was over. And much like teams do, and they're one to do, especially the ones that aren't elite, you wait a year too late rather than a year too early. And now the Titans find themselves in a situation where maybe Tannehill can be the answer, and they'll be drafting a quarterback this year. But like I said, the window on this roster is getting thinner and thinner, or shorter and shorter. The window's closing. I don't know. The space is getting thinner. You know what I'm saying.
More air is coming through in a shorter amount of time.
Less air is coming through.
Less air is coming through.
Yeah, like the window was open. It was like wide open, so me and you could fit through there. Now we're down to like where only Cam can fit there. And so next year it'll be just we're like –
nobody.
Frank the dog. He's the only person who can fit through it.
Right.
And he's got a bad back, so I don't even know if he can.
Yeah. What did you see Mike Vrabel's quote earlier?
What did Mike Vrabel say? What did Meathead Mario say?
He said he's frustrated with the job that he's done through 6 games to get the team to understand the keys each week.
Me too. I am very frustrated too, Mike Vrabel, so I'm glad that you are acknowledging it. Although it's not a good sign when your coach says, what exactly? Say that one more time. The team isn't understanding what he's saying?
He said he's not doing a very good job of getting the team to understand the keys each week to the games. He said he's done a poor job through 6 games getting the team to understand the keys to the games. At least he's transparent.
Huh? As a coach, do you admit that your team's not listening to you, that you're not getting through to your team? I feel like that's the one thing you can't admit. Maybe you can't admit like they quit on you. The second thing is like I'm not getting through to them, which I guess kind of goes hand in hand. I feel like that's the one thing you can't say.
I don't know. The other day he said that he's just not a very good coach, so he seems transparent. That's good. He's honest up front. That's what you look for in a coach.
No, it's not. Wins. Wins is what I'm looking for from a coach. Wins. Competence.
You don't value the honesty.
You can be as honest as you want, bro, but like when you come out and send the field goal unit out down 7 with 6 minutes left to kick a 52-yard field goal when he's already 0-for-3 on the season, no. I don't need you to honestly stand up there and say, well, maybe that was a bad decision. You know, go back to the Falcons game, one of the games we actually won this year. And it's a, you know, what was it, a 14-point game in the fourth quarter? And we go for it on 4th and 2?
Maybe
I need you to kick a field goal to go up 3 scores, bro. Like, I don't need you to be honest about being an idiot. I need you to not be an idiot. So, no, honesty is nice, sure, but winning and being smart, I prefer that.
Maybe they just didn't understand the keys.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe Mike Vrabel is an idiot.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very possible that he is just a dummy. And that John Robinson is just obsessed with the New England Patriots. And, like, for some reason, he's getting everybody that's somewhat associated with the Patriots, and most of them just, like, are not associated with the Patriots anymore for a reason, right? It doesn't seem like a good strategy to take the scraps and the leftovers from a historically good franchise, right? Like, the Patriots have done something that teams don't do in any sport, much less salary cap sports like the NFL that begs for parity. Like, instead, John Robinson is lined up to get all the scraps he can from the New England Patriots. Deion Lewis, he gave him $30 million. Deion Lewis sucks. Logan Ryan is fine. He's fine. Malcolm Butler is not your shutdown cornerback. He is fine. Mike Vrabel won a couple of championships in New England as a player. That's the only thing he had on his resume that made you think he was ready to be a head coach. Otherwise, he was a linebacker coach that became a defensive coordinator whose defense sucked, whose defense finished 31st in the league. There was zero reason for you to think that he could be a good head coach other than he just hung out with Bill Belichick and played for him. We were suckling at the teat of the New England Patriots. Please, just give us anybody. Give us anybody who is associated with the New England Patriots. Maybe we'll win that way. Which, I mean, it works for some organizations, right, Cam? Like, the Atlanta Hawks kind of were successful doing that with the Spurs. Basketball's a little different. Guys don't get washed up as quickly. And like, you know, being a lead assistant under Greg Popovich is a little bit different than being like, hey, you played for Greg Popovich. You're going to be good. No one was running out to give Tim Duncan a head coaching job. But, like, the Hawks tried to be the Spurs of the East, and they won 60 games doing it. Budenholzer became coach of the year, and he's elite now with the Bucks. Like, so sometimes it works out, but in football, just suckling at the Patriots' teat didn't work. So like I said, Marcus Mariota's time should be done, and I hope that they do not second-guess this decision, rip the Band-Aid off, and be done with it. He doesn't rule out a reversal in 2019. He should rule out the reversal in 2019. There's no going back now. There's no point. Either Tannehill sparks the team and you win games, or he doesn't and the season's over and you just don't win games. The Titans are already on the brink. They're 2-4. They're falling behind the Texans. They're falling behind the Colts. They still have to play the Saints. They still have to play the Chiefs. They still have to play the Texans twice. They still have to go to Indianapolis. Like, it is an uphill battle. Either Tannehill saves this season or the season's done. You do not reverse it. You do not give Marcus Mariota a chance to trick you into thinking that things will get better. They're not going to. It's a wrap. Now the question is Marcus Mariota a bust? We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody. Marcus Mariota, you got to climb a bus, right? Nashville, of people trying to do some mental gymnastics to avoid calling Marcus Mariota a bust.
Yeah.
If you're drafted number two overall, you're drafted to be the franchise quarterback, right? Like, that's just what you're being drafted for. You've got to get through at least to a second contract, and this guy's not getting to the second contract. He has to be a bust, right, Cam? Like, because people are saying, hey, he's not because he won you a playoff game. And, you know, the Titans don't win many playoff games, and Mariota got you one of those, so he's not a bust.
Tebow won a playoff game.
Tebow, I mean, you say that, but then, like, I'm thinking, is Tebow a bust? Now, I will say, like, Tebow was drafted, what, like 26, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I don't think he had the same expectations.
Right, so, like, Tebow getting drafted as a flyer by the Broncos doesn't have the same pressure as being drafted number two overall. But Tebow also didn't get a second contract. He was never a starting quarterback again in the NFL, and, of course, now he is a minor league baseball player. But Tebow did win a playoff game. I would say Denver would probably take that, actually, didn't they? Because they won a division, too, right? See, the Titans have never won the division with Marcus Mariota. And I think that is important. Like, if he'd have won the AFC South once or twice, I would say, okay, not a bust, maybe.
Y'all had a good window for it, too.
Oh, yeah, like the AFC South was wide open, and either he couldn't make it to the end of the season or, I mean, that's really what happened a couple of years is he couldn't make it to the end of the season. So are you saying Mariota's a bust, yes or no?
I'd say yes, yeah. Probably.
You saying a firm yes, or you're just kind of like, eh, I guess?
I'd say yes because of the expectations he had coming in. And I also, I don't think you can completely close the door on it if he ends up, like, going somewhere else. But, like, if he's never a starter anywhere again, yeah, I'm absolutely in on him being a bust.
I mean, don't you have to call any franchise quarterback a bust if they don't do what you expected them to do? And the reason you draft a quarterback is for them to be a franchise quarterback, right? You never draft a quarterback for just average play. Like, this guy's going to come in, he's going to be all right for a couple of years, and that's all we want.
You're not doing that at number two overall.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you're doing that at the back of the first round, I would say you would take starter for 4.5 years, won a playoff game. You might take that. But again, when you're drafted number two overall, you're being drafted to be the franchise guy.
Yeah.
And you made the playoffs 1 year. You won the playoff game, and Mariota played great in that second half. He did lead you to that playoff victory, but you never won any divisions. You made the playoffs once, and you couldn't make it through year five. You couldn't get a second contract. The team, it looks like right now,
that's a
barring a miracle, that he is walking away. He is done.
That's the definition of a bust. Absolutely.
He had a good setup, too, of, like, you know, run game, good defense. Like, usually that's what you want as a quarterback. It takes so much pressure off you, and he still didn't get it done.
I mean, to the Titans' credit, though, I mean, what other teams are able to draft a guy who just becomes a 10-year star and just becomes a playoff quarterback year in and year out? It doesn't happen often. Most teams do bust, don't they?
With top five quarterback picks?
Yeah.
I would think it's the opposite. I would think most of the quarterbacks who have been drafted in the top five have all been solid. Maybe with the exception so far of being Mitch Trubisky, who is dangerously close to, you know, he seems to be kind of on the same trajectory as Mariota. But, like, I'm just thinking about the quarterbacks drafted in the top, we'll just even call it the top 10 the last handful of years. Like, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, I don't think you call either one of those busts. Goff.
Well,
Goff's peak has been better than Mariota's. He got the second contract. He made a Super Bowl. They've made the playoffs multiple times. Like, I think that you say that he is not a bust. Carson Wentz, was an MVP candidate before getting hurt, and he's still good now. So, like, I don't think he's a bust. Like, who are some other quarterbacks drafted in the top?
I don't know who's drafted that high.
Like, Winston.
I don't remember.
Winston's probably right on board with Mariota. Like, Winston hasn't been as good as you drafted him to be either. So, like, maybe both those guys are just busts.
I'm kind of thinking Goff may end up being a bust.
He might end up not being the guy you want him to be, but, like, I think he's already accomplished enough now to. I think Jared Goff has done enough already in his career to be worthy of being drafted number one. He made a Super Bowl. He's made the playoffs multiple times.
He made a Super Bowl, but did it not feel a lot like the Peyton Manning Super Bowl toward the end of the year? Like,
they scored. I mean. They scored points. They scored points in the NFC Championship game. Like, he did enough to win that game. He tied that game late. Like, he's done enough. Like I said, maybe you want longer success. But Jared Goff, drafted number one. Like I said, you make a Super Bowl. That means you've won a handful of playoff games, too. You've made the playoffs 2 years. I'm not going to call him a bust.
I do have a list of first-round quarterbacks since 2000. If you're
all right, yeah, give me like the last 5 years. We don't have to go too far back into it. Like I said, Winston, Mariota, Trubisky, those are the guys who stick out to me that maybe they haven't panned out. Am I missing anybody?
I'll start like 2016.
Okay.
Top two was Goff and Wentz, of course. 15 was Winston and Mariota. 2014 was Blake Bortles went number three.
Number three, he's a bust.
And Johnny went 22.
22, I think it's different if you're drafting that low. But
Baker Mayfield, too early to tell, maybe.
Too early to tell. Yeah. Rookie of the year, you know, that's a good start. But like I said, I am not a fan of Baker. I don't think he's long for being a good starting quarterback. So right now I would say he might bust out. But
2013, EJ Manuel went 16th.
Yeah, okay, that's not high enough.
2012, Andrew Luck 1, Robert Griffin 2, Ryan Tannehill 8.
Okay.
2011 was Cam Newton 1, Jake Locker 8, Blaine Gabbert 10, Christian Ponder 12.
Stupid. So
that was a crap class.
Yeah, so like there was only one first round, one top five quarterback that year?
Yeah.
And that was Cam Newton?
Yeah.
And you don't call him a bust. He's maybe not having a good end to his career there, but
he's become a franchise quarterback of Carolina.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, for better or worse, he got the Panthers to the playoffs. He got to the Super Bowl. He won an MVP. That is not a bust. Like I said, it's not ending well there, but
I'm just thinking.
So maybe the cutoff's like number five, like kind of, because I mean, like when you get to the 8-10 level, you got teams kind of reaching. Because at the time, like I knew Jake Locker shouldn't be a top 10 quarterback. Like I had made a bet with my friend that he wouldn't be top 15, and then I had to set my foot on fire.
So,
or try to.
So
kind of balked on it. But I did drench it in gasoline. I was ready.
What did you do?
I had made a bet that I was going to set myself on fire if Jake Locker was drafted by the Titans in the top 10 that year.
And you went through with it?
I dipped my toe in gasoline and was getting ready, but my friend wouldn't actually drop the match on me, so.
So you were prepared to...
I was ready to burn for my beliefs.
That sounds dangerous.
That's why he didn't do it. He's like, this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
At the time, we were still under 21, and we were all drinking at the house. Like, if the cops get called, like, we're going to go to jail for this, too. So they just balked, and I was...
You know what you're supposed to do if you're on fire?
Stop, drop, and roll, but I don't know how that would really help your toes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I would just have to dip it in a bucket of water, like, immediately. Like, it wasn't going to be, like, a long fire. But, you know, I've always referenced this. Like, one of my favorite childhood memories was when Kane first spoke, and he said if he didn't beat Stone Cold, I'll set myself on fire. So I had said I was going to set myself on fire. And then, unlike Kane, it wasn't predetermined. He got to win. I did not.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to have to follow through with it. Give me somebody. So you started in 2016. Go backwards. Work 17, 18, 19. These guys kind of drafted recently in the top 5 or 10.
It sounds like it's...
Oh, okay.
It sounds like it's about 50-50 so far.
In the top 10, yes. In the top 5, no.
Well, I mean, Bortles, Mariota, Winston.
Well, yeah.
If you throw Baker in. I mean, I don't know if you throw Baker in yet, but... I'm just
the
thinking,
Bortles, Mariota, Winston really holds this down.
I'm just thinking there's a lot of teams that have this. It's almost like a fantasy. You know what I mean? Like they see Tom Brady for just years and years and years. They see Aaron Rodgers for years.
Yep.
They see saw Peyton Manning for years. Andrew Luck even before, you know, I mean, he was always hurt. But I think it's hard to get that guy, you know, no matter who you draft. Like you got to really – there's just not that many guys out there. Actual just 10 years – Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rivers, some other guys, just franchise quarterbacks.
I don't know. I mean, 10 years, maybe not, but 7 or 8.
I mean, Cam right
like, I mean,
now
you take,
is.
Like, you take, like I said, it didn't. It didn't end well, but like Joe Flacco, maybe didn't get to 10 years, but he got 8 solid years in Baltimore where he you know, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
made the playoffs a bunch of times. Like, I mean, I don't think that's like a pipe dream. I think, like, you know, even Matt Ryan drafting that same class, like he went, you know, he's still with the Falcons and he accomplished what you want. Like, it's not even so much of like winning big. It's just like knowing that you could trust to build around him. Like,
right.
As the Titans have tried to put this team around this quarterback, now the quarterback's gone. And I think if you have a top level pick, like you're hoping that you at least can build around him for a little bit. And like you kind of, you know, especially if you're drafting the top five, you throw year one out the window because there's a reason usually that you draft in the top five, right? It's because your team sucks. And one quarterback's usually not going to fix that. Usually.
Right.
So you throw the first year away. So then you're working it like we got a 3-year window before it's time to make a contract decision. And you hope you could do something then. Like Flacco and Ryan, they've both been successful. I would even say, man, like, give me what Andy Dalton did in Cincinnati. Like, I know you didn't win big there, but you made the playoffs a bunch, and no, you didn't win any games, but you were consistent. You could rely on Andy Dalton. Like, if you're getting drafted number two overall, and I'm saying I wish you were Andy Dalton, I think I gotta call you a bust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just saying it's the dream on draft day. On draft day, when you get that quarterback in the top five, you're saying this is my guy for the next. You know, put it however many years you want on it, 7, 8, 10 years. This is my guy. And you're hoping for that. You're hoping for the Rivers, the Roethlisberger, the Breeze, Brady. There's enough examples of guys that have done it. But then when your team's not able to do it, I mean, I feel like you just really set your franchise back. You know, you saw Cleveland do it many times. And now the Titans, I mean, you got to call Mariota a bust. There's no getting around that, I don't think.
In 2017, there was two top 10 quarterbacks taken.
In 2017?
Yeah.
That would be Trubisky and Mahomes at 10.
2018 was Baker, Darnold, Allen, and Rosen all went in the top 10.
Yeah. Out of that group, I feel confident in saying that Rosen is going to be a bust. The other guys, I think the door is still open on.
Darnold
looked good last week. I think he can still be that guy. I don't like Baker. You know, I've made that very clear. I'm not ready to close the door on him either. And Josh Allen's looked pretty good so far this year. So maybe all those guys will be what their team needs. Maybe that just gets them locked into the Bengals territory. Like maybe the Bills are just going to be that where they get to the playoffs and you're like, this team's not that good. They're going to lose and then they lose. But
it's the Bills. I mean, the Bills will take it.
I just like it. I don't know how many times we have had an athlete that is so coddled. And maybe I just haven't experienced it. Feels like Mariota's really coddled just by the franchise, the fans, the media alike. Now, I'll give Titans media and NFL media credit. It does seem like now they have come on board of like, hey, like, yeah, this just isn't working with Mariota. It's time. Now, the national media was ready to do that to the Titans right when they traded for Tannehill, right? Like, it might have been the 2 weeks you were gone, Cody, but I remember me and Davey talking about it. And you know, people were like, hey, Tannehill might be the starter week one. And I remember Davey was kind of in denial about that Tannehill was actually going to be a threat for Mariota this year. Like, to me, the writing was on the wall when you traded for him. Was like, hey, we got to upgrade our backup quarterback position. We're not sold on Mariota. We didn't give him the extension. We have a feeling he's going to get hurt at some point this year. We can't let that tank our season. That was them telling you everything they needed to know, which is why it's been so frustrating this year that Mariota has played bad. And I know before the game Sunday, he had 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Cool. He had played bad.
Yeah. And I was surprised. Not always about the numbers.
Right. It's not about the 0 interceptions. Like I said about Aaron Rodgers and Garantano from last year. Like, your low interception numbers can either be because you're really good or it can be because you're not really throwing the ball where it used to be throwing it. You're too scared to force turnovers. You're throwing it out of bounds. You're taking sacks. That's what Mariota was doing. That's why it was so frustrating watching them against Denver just not move the ball. And them still trot him out there until 2 minutes were left in the third quarter and you were down 13-0. Like, the game was a lot further out of reach than when it was 6-0.
Is he coddled just because he's a nice guy?
I think so. I mean, is that the whole thing? I do think that's it. I think he is really nice to the media. I think he seems like a good kid. He doesn't drink. He doesn't party. He says all the right things. And people want him to be good. Like I said, he is the stereotypical franchise quarterback off the field. That's who you want to be good. That's who you want to be the face of your franchise. That's who you want to be the face of your organization, of the NFL, whatever.
Problem is, nice guys finish last.
Not always. I mean, I don't think Marcus Mariota – I do not think Marcus Mariota is bad at football because he's nice.
I think
he's just bad at football.
That's the old expression.
I mean, I understand. I think that was more about with women.
Nice guys finish last.
I guess it could also be.
You're right. They don't always finish last. Sometimes they finish third in the division.
I guess it could be also like maybe in the business world, like you got to be aggressive and cutthroat, or else you're going to get taken advantage of. I don't think that was. I don't think that was Mariota's problem.
That's what happened to the Titans fans. Yeah, taken advantage of by a bad quarterback.
I mean, for his three, this is three quarterbacks in a row. The Titans have drafted quarterbacks in the top 10 three times. The last, you know, since 2005. Vince Young, bust. Jake Locker, bust. Marcus Mariota, bust. And that's
Joe Burrow, Super Bowl champion.
I hope so. I hope so. Although now you've just informed me that Joe Burrow has risen too far in the latest mock draft. He gets drafted before the Titans can even draft.
You know, there was a thing going around a while back about the quarterbacks that are successful right now. Like, most of them actually weren't top five picks.
And they've all been arrested when they were in high school and stuff, and, like, they got a little edge to them. They're rough. The bad boys.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was just that, like, the teams with the quarterbacks.
Did you just forget the conversation about nice guys finishing last?
No, I knew what you were going with there. I was just, but you were trying to combine. I was presenting an actual stat that I heard. Were you combining it with that?
Just go. Hurry.
It's like quarterbacks drafted in the middle or better.
I mean, okay.
The guys that are drafted in the top five don't really pan out. I'd have to find the stat.
I just knew it was going to be one of those half-assed stats you give us where you hear it and you kind of try to piece it together. I mean, some of that probably is true. Like, you'll get Tom Brady, you'll get Aaron Rodgers. Like, those are your two elite guys, and one's a six-round pick. One was drafted in the 20s. Same as Russell Wilson. That's probably your other best quarterback. Like, I mean, there's probably some truth to that. It's probably not a surefire way. I would still rather have the first crack at taking the guy at the top of the draft. But then, like I said, you just look around. You're like, we're picking at the start of the draft for a reason. Our team probably sucks, and our offensive line's going to get you killed, and you're going to retire, a la Andrew Luck.
Yeah, maybe franchises that suck just suck.
Maybe that's the lesson here. And if the Titans have missed on three straight franchise quarterbacks, maybe they just suck.
Yeah,
well, that stands back to different ownerships. Like, maybe we're just cursed. I don't know. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
Underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Are y'all ready to play some overrated, underrated?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. So, first up, we have UT Orange Pants.
I'm going to say the orange pants are underrated. I like the orange pants. I'm always much more inclined to enjoy the game if we're wearing orange pants. It helps me see the screen better, helps us stand out. Like, if we're in a road game and we're wearing all white, it's hard for me to even see the players. You know, it's hard to tell. Was that a player in a white uniform, or was that a dove that flew by? You know what I mean? So the orange to me really helps to see the players, and when we're in the full orange, the creamsicles, I think they look good. I think it looks good, especially if you go up against a red team. That's one of my favorite things to see, all orange versus red. They would be great this week. I hope we wear orange pants on the road. White tops, orange pants. If so, we got a shot to beat Alabama. Underrated.
I got to say the orange pants are a little overrated just because everyone's acting like that's a part of the reason we won. Like, I'm not saying that the orange pants aren't cute, although, like, I wasn't crazy with the look. nice to put back in rotation. I'm cool with that. But I've seen some people saying, like, oh, this was the reason we won. We should wear the orange pants more. That doesn't seem like.
I think it makes a difference.
I don't.
You never heard look good, feel good, play good?
Mm-hmm. I've also heard just do your job.
Yeah, but sometimes you, these do players, your job. Sometimes do your job. Sometimes you feel a little energy. You feel a little more like if we didn't wear the black jerseys against Carolina in 09, you think we won that game?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know.
I still think
there's a different energy with the crowd. When we came out in those black jerseys, you remember that?
I think the energy with the crowd was like, didn't they fumble like on their first play or didn't something crazy happen to start the game? Didn't like we like jump on them pretty early?
The energy stayed, yeah, but that crowd energy could have caused that fumble.
Mm-hmm. You think South Carolina was rattled by the crowd being loud?
It could be, yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
I think it can have an impact on morale. And it's one of those intangible things.
Do you have
things.
Better shows depending on what you wear?
It's one of those intangible things, yeah.
Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
Like, what if I just surprised you one day?
And came in a suit?
That'd be pretty weird.
It was funny that one time we did the Butch Jones funeral, you came in all really dressed up and... We were just wearing like a black shirt.
Yeah.
You came in actual funeral.
I thought we were really
you came in actual funeral clothes.
I thought we were really going for it.
You did good that you did good that show, so maybe you're right. Maybe it did help. Maybe they are underrated, but I'll go overrated.
All right. Next up we have cuffing season.
I'll say overrated. Year round should be cuffing season. Just find someone you love. Find someone you want to spend your time with. You don't need a certain season to do it. Although I will say, like, I mean, this is a good time of year to be booed up, right? I mean, yeah, it's scary movie time, just movie time. It's a little chilly. It's a good time to cuddle up. It's holidays. Although, like, I go back and forth on this, to be honest, because, like, cuffing season runs from now until like, you know, February 1st, right? January 15th. When's the official end of cuffing season?
I'd say by Valentine's Day.
Yeah, like, it's definitely by Valentine's Day, but it extends through Christmas and New Year's, right?
Yeah.
Kind of feel like it should end before Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, especially if you're taking them for the holidays.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it should end before then because, like, if you're just randomly getting cuffed up with someone, I don't really feel like you should want to take them to Christmas. Like, take them to Thanksgiving, that's okay. Thanksgiving isn't intimate, right? Thanksgiving, you just go in, you got your whole extended family there, you go in, you eat, you talk. No one really bothers you. There's football on. Christmas is different. Christmas is usually intimate. Christmas, it's usually just your immediate family. So you're taking a girl or a guy home for Christmas.
That you just met.
That's got different levels to it. So, like, then you have to buy Christmas gifts. So I kind of feel like cuffing season should end.
And then they want to make...
Going into December for sure.
Yeah.
And they want to make a good impression on your mom. So they may feel like obligated to get your mom something that puts pressure on them.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe, should I get your mom a little... what can I get your mom? I want to get her a little something.
Maybe the key here is like... Maybe the key, and look, it's been a while since I've been a participant in this, but it feels like maybe the key is, well, we're just now getting together, so, like, I'm not going to take you home to meet my family. That's weird. We've just been in this for a month and a half. Like,
sounds like a good way to get broken up with.
Well, it's just a risk you got to take.
My sweet spot's, like, mid-February because just missed Valentine's Day. My birthday's early March, so they got to get me a birthday present.
February 15th.
Yeah. So, Cam, ghost these.
That's wrong, but thanks for the effort.
That's how you do it.
Cam, ghost these girls in, like, February 1st, and then February 22nd, Cam pops back up and says, I've just been going through some things, and thanks for understanding. Had some family problems I've had to take care of. We're on to you, Cam Black.
Yeah, I got to go overrated. I feel like February 15th should be cuffing season. February 15th through about March 15th.
Just a good month?
About a month right there.
A month of love?
Because you avoid the holidays. You don't have to buy anybody anything. You avoid all that pressure at Christmas.
It's nice to get things bought for you, though, too.
Yeah, but you just there's so much pressure with that. The fewer gifts I have to buy, the better.
Okay.
I want to limit myself to
just a month. February 15th to March 15th.
Yes.
Just boom, a month.
Yes.
Very short meeting.
Yeah.
And then if it's not, you know, you work it out in that time and you get hot girl summer. So,
yeah.
You know, then that's yeah, yeah. And then you just cut it off and you figure
hot
something
girl
out.
Summer's over. Then we go to Fat Boy Fall. Like, I mean, it's just.
I guess it's nice to have somebody to cuddle up with in the wintertime, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's so much pressure with the holidays, Christmas, and then especially if you keep it through Valentine's.
I know.
It's just Big Holiday trying to separate you from your cash.
Big Holiday trying to get your money.
That's probably where the term cuffing season came from. Big Holiday probably started testing it in different markets, and it took off, and boom, there you go, separating you from your cash.
I don't think that's where it came from.
Who needs a girlfriend when you got cash?
Exactly. You have all the girlfriends you want. The Lakers are favored to win the championship. Are they overrated or underrated?
The Lakers.
Oh. We still do the drum.
If they're favored to win the championship, then you got to say properly rated because they're the best team in the NBA right now. Between Kuz and LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Between Kuz.
I mean, they're going to be.
Never has a player
you mentioned
been.
Them first.
Never has a player been more overrated than
Love Kuz. Love Kuz. Kuz is great. I'm glad they got to keep him while simultaneously getting rid of Lonzo. It's going to be a big year for the Lakers. I think that LeBron is going to come back with a fire in his belly. He's been, and everybody just keeps criticizing him. But this whole thing this week with the political stuff in China, it's just, oh, LeBron, we hate LeBron. I'm tired of hearing negative things about LeBron. LeBron's about to come out on the court, and he's about to show everybody why he's the best player in the NBA, and he's always has been. Lakers winning the title, properly rated.
Ah, man. I like what you said, except the Kuz thing.
Kuz!
No, I can't say the Lakers should be the title favorite. I got to go a little bit overrated.
What, you think Kawhi's going to win it 2 years in a row? You going to pick the Sixers? Come on now.
I think it's going to be Sixers versus Lakers. I just don't know where the Lakers are. I can't just say the Lakers are the best team already.
Why not? Go ahead.
Maybe I can. They got two of the five best players in the league.
Three.
Two of the three best players. Oh, you mean like two of the three best players, or
no? Three of the top 15 best players.
Yeah, Kuz.
Kuz, yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Just say it.
This is a tough one.
It's all right.
I'm on record saying
this. Say it.
I'm on record picking the Sixers.
Say it.
Did I pick the Sixers to win the East or the whole title?
You know the Sixers are not going to win
the title. It's going to be Sixers versus Lakers.
I don't think the Sixers will even get to the finals.
Well, you're an idiot. They're getting there. Pencil it down.
Yeah, just call somebody an idiot just because you disagree with them.
Write it down. Who do you think's
coming? Put that on the board.
Who do you think's coming out of the East?
Put that on the board.
Who do you think's coming?
The field. Put that on the board, Cam.
It's not a 50-50 proposition,
Cam. Sixers versus the field.
It's not a 50-50 proposition.
You're an idiot. You don't know.
If you want to pick a team, we will put it on the board.
I got the field.
Then I get like three board bets to one then.
Mr. Confidence.
Three board bets to one if it counts for three wins for me if they go.
No.
I'm not. It's not a coin flip proposition. No, I'm not doing that. Well, I'm not letting you goad me in by questioning my masculinity or my intelligence by saying that. No, if you want to give me three board bet wins.
You sounded confident in the Sixers. That's all I'm saying.
I am confident in the Sixers.
You said anyone that disagree with you is an idiot.
I said you're an idiot. I didn't say anybody who disagreed with me.
I'm taking the field, and yet for some reason you won't back up your
Make your Sixers. Case then. Make your case for the field.
I got a lot of other teams that could win it.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, boys, let's not hijack the segment here.
Next
topic, LSU.
It's Giannis' time.
Oh, I forgot the drums. Oops.
LSU
is not the second best team in the country. LSU is overrated. Now, I don't necessarily know who the second best team in the country is, but I know it's not LSU. At least I feel like it's not LSU. They got a chance to prove it, but as of right now, I would say that it is not them. I think we're giving them a lot of credit for beating Florida at home. So what? You beat Florida at home. You're a 14-point favorite. It's like Florida isn't a team that can go on the road with Kyle Trask and expect to win.
Who's Bama beaten?
Who is Bama beaten?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me who Alabama's beaten? When have I said a word about Alabama?
I mean, if LSU's not the number one team, it must be Alabama.
I never said a word about Alabama.
I know, but you said they're overrated.
There are more teams than Alabama, Crimson Cody.
Well, who else is better than LSU?
Oklahoma and Ohio State. Their quarterbacks are more dynamic. That's why I would say that.
Justin Fields.
Dynamic. LSU is overrated. Not the second best team in the country. Crimson Cody, of course, going to bat for Alabama.
LSU is underrated. As John said, they're not the second best team in the country. I agree. They're the best team in the country.
Whoa.
They are the best team in the country. And LSU is going to go into Tuscaloosa.
Bayou Bengal McClure.
And they're going to beat Alabama this year.
Okay.
Would you like to go on record with that?
Yes, I'll go on record with that.
Put it on the board. On the board?
Yeah, put it on the board.
I got Alabama. You got LSU. Yeah. Board bet? Yeah, put it on the board.
Only if you put the Sixers versus the field
absolutely
on the board.
Absolutely not.
Even money.
No.
Even money.
No. So you don't actually believe what you just said?
I do, but I don't know why it's automatically got to go to the board.
I was just asking how confident
you were. Put yours on the board. I'll put mine on the board.
On the record.
Put yours on and I'll put mine on.
Pick a team and I will. I'll take this. Okay, Bucks versus Sixers.
I got Bucks and LSU.
I got the 76ers and Alabama.
They're on the board now.
All right, we're on the board now.
All right, last topic, reusable straws.
I got to go underrated simply for the fact that the metal straws look so cool. You ever use a metal straw?
Yeah.
Those are cool. I want a metal straw just to keep in my pocket to take everywhere I go. Like, hey, here I am saving the environment and I have my own straw. And if things go sideways, I could take this metal straw and jab it through your neck. So I got a weapon on me, too, at all times, bro. Step to me. Have you seen the metal straws? Those are cool. The paper straws, you can't reuse those, but those are stupid. I hate the paper straws.
Those are awful.
Metal straws, I like. Just take one, jab them through the top of your drink or through somebody's neck. Either way, multi-versatile.
I don't like metal straws. It gives you a weird metal flavor in your mouth when you're drinking your drink. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just have a plastic straw. It doesn't matter. Nothing is changing in the world because you give up plastic straws. I hate to break it to you. Nothing's changing. You're not saving any lives. It's stupid. Just get your plastic straws and enjoy your soda like you always have. The metal straws. Here's another thing. Eddie Van Halen right now has throat cancer. And I think he has attributed it to keeping a metal guitar pick in his mouth for his whole career playing music. He's always kept his metal guitar pick in his mouth. So I don't think it's good to have metal in your mouth. I'm basing this completely off what Eddie Van Halen said about his metal guitar pick. He's now got throat cancer. And I just think metal in your mouth is a bad idea. And I think that not having plastic is really not doing any good at all. Just have plastic. Metal, overrated.
Cody, known turtle hater. All right. Y'all want another one?
No, that's good.
Yeah, if you have one.
Last call on the other side.